Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. Tonight's author on tour is Darren Strauss, who discusses his new book, More Than It Hurts You, published by Dutton. In the weeks to come, we have David Sirota, David Iglesias, and many more. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Tattered Cover. We're glad you're here this evening to welcome Darren Strauss with his new book, More Than It Hurts You. And it's he comes to us from New York, mostly, most of his life, which this book is set in. He lived in Colorado for a year, so that's a good thing. We all like that. And he's written his first book, Chang and Eng, has just had so many awards. It's amazing. And it's being he and Darren and Gary Oldman are working on the script for the film, so that's going to be very exciting. He has some good stories to tell us, too, about a family reunion of that he went to concerning that book. So let's welcome him and hear more about his book. I did tell him when he first came that we used to have a staff person here who would do first line things, and he'd put them up above the top of all the things. He was just a fanatic about first lines. And if Richard were still here, he'd be putting the first line of this book up. So, welcome.
Thanks, Pat, for having me out and for that nice introduction. I'll read the first line, and then maybe I'll just do a little talk. Because I don't really feel like reading too much, but I'll give a little chat. But the first line is, 15 minutes before happiness left him, Josh Golden led the summer intern by her elbow to share in the hallelujah of a Friday afternoon. And so the book is about Munchausen by proxy, which is where it's a syndrome where a parent, usually the mother, hurts a child on purpose to get attention. And it's the kind of thing that only happens in rich countries, mainly the U.S. and the U.K. And it's a very strange disease because, you know, who would hurt their kid to get attention? And so I thought that said something interesting about our country, that it happens in America primarily because people are so interested in getting attention here that they'll do anything. Some people will make an ass of themselves on national TV, or other people hurt their kids, or sometimes both at once, I guess. I've been traveling around with this book, and it's been fun, and I'm doing a blog about it for Newsweek, which has also been kind of fun. And one of the interesting things about traveling with it is that on my website I have a thing called office hours where I give my phone number where people can call certain times of the day, and I've gotten some crazy calls. One guy called and said, "This book is terrible." And I said, "It hasn't come out yet." He said, "No, I know, I haven't read it." And I said, well, why do you say that? He said, "I'm just looking at your picture. You just seem like a jerk. And, you know, like, why do you think people care what you have to say?" I said, "Well, I don't know. That's what all writers, I guess, have that delusion." He said, "Yeah, that's why I don't really like writers that much." And I said, "Okay." And I was about to hang up. And he said, wait. "Do you know any agents? Can you help me get an agent?" So I thought... I thought that was the perfect literary exchange, you know, like, "You suck, your book sucks, can you help me out?" So, but then I've been on tour, which has been fun, and I was in L.A. Last week to film a TV show, which was my first time on national TV. I did the Craig Ferguson show, and it's going to be on July 3rd, tomorrow night. That was really strange because I was kind of nervous, and I said, "Okay, I'll just chill out in the green room." And the green room at that show is, it looks like a tiki bar. There's a Hawaiian bar, a bartender who's wearing a lei around his neck, and then there's a woman in Hawaiian clothes. So I just thought she worked there, and then it turns out that the woman in Hawaiian clothes was Virginia Madsen, the actress. So that was, and she acted. She had that sort of celebrity vibe of pretending she didn't know you were in the room with her. So I think either she purposefully ignored me or thought I was one of her entourage that she didn't know. Anyway, so then right before I went on, I had a couple of drinks. I had two glasses of wine to calm down, and so I figured I should look around and take this in because it's kind of a big moment. So I was looking around, and I saw some guy stand there, and I said, "What do you do?" And he said, "Well, I get paid $70,000 to put water in Craig Ferguson's cup and in the guest's cup, and that's all I do. And by law or by the rules of the union, I can't do anything but that." So he made $70,000 a year for 2 minutes a day of work. And but he didn't have any other jobs. He just hung out and drank coffee and made guests nervous. So he said, "You nervous?" I said, "A little bit." He said, "Don't worry, only 2.1 million people are going to watch you in 5 seconds." So that was pretty scary. Anyway, so then right after he said that, I heard two producers arguing in front of me whether they were going to bump me or not. And that was kind of a bummer because I'd flown out 6 hours. And I was going to fly 6 hours back the next morning. And so then they included me. They said, "Hey, come here. So do you want to be bumped? Because if you're bumped, we can do you for longer," because he went over with Virginia Madsen because I think he had a crush on her. So they said, "We can do it for 3 minutes now, and it can run tonight and on July 3rd, or we can bump it and probably run it in August." And I thought, well, if the book tanks, they're not going to run it, so I better do it now. So I just went out there, and it was so strange because I never met the guy before. And so you walk out, and then you have this conversation like you're friends with someone for 3 minutes, and then you leave, and then they fly you home, and they put makeup on you and everything. It was totally crazy. I don't remember it either. The only thing I can describe it or compare it to is my wedding, where it's like I remember everything leading up to the event and everything after it, but those 3 minutes are a complete blur. So it's on tomorrow night, so check it out. And I don't think I made an ass of myself, although maybe I did, because he said, you know, because I did a pre-interview where they ask you all these questions, and so I was prepared with certain answers, and he ripped up the thing as I walked on stage and he threw it out. And so he's like, "Let's just talk." And so I didn't know what he was going to ask me, and I was kind of nervous. And then he said, "Have you ever been on TV before?" I said, "Yeah, but not national TV." And I said, "The TV that I'm more used to doing is kind of like the sweaty ball skit on Saturday Night Live with like the very NPR kind of women." He's like, "You can't say that on TV." So, but he didn't bleep me out. So, unless, I don't know, we'll see how it goes tomorrow. But so this is my third book, and as Pat mentioned, my first book was called Chang and Aang. It was about conjoined twins, and I also just had twins. So I realized that I got to start writing about different things, because so I had these conjoined twins, and then I wrote about conjoined twins. And then 6 years later, I found out I was having identical twins, and for a couple of days, they were like, "Well, we'll do a test tomorrow to see if they're conjoined," and I thought, well, that would be good press, but so you see, I have my priorities straight. But so I had the twins, and they were a month premature, so they were in the baby ICU. And the first chapter of this book takes place in a baby's ICU. So, and I was late with the book because my wife is pregnant, and it was kind of a tough time. So I had to read the proofs of the book in the ICU. So I'm reading about a baby ICU. With all these descriptions of beeping monitors, and I'm sitting there reading this in this room with beeping monitors and babies, and I thought, I really have to write a book about a guy who wins the lottery and the National Book Award in one day. You know, no drama. My next book's going to be 3 pages long, just to happy. But no, the twins actually ended up being great. It's like paying up front twins. You know, it's very hard up front, but then now they're 8 months old, and I've been on the road for 2 weeks, and I'm kind of afraid they're going to forget me when I go home, because I'm going home tomorrow for 4th of July weekend. I'll let you know. You go to my office hours. You can call me. I'll tell you if they forgot me. That's Darren at Darren. It's DarrenStrauss.com. And but so this book is about, like I said, Munchausen by proxy is the main sort of hook that the story is hung from. But it's about a bunch of different things. I mean, I was really influenced by the Rabbit books from Updike, because I loved how he, especially in like Rabbit Redux, for example, he took a news story like the moon landing and made that sort of the big news story in the book, but used it to kind of examine where America was at that time. And so this book is about Munchausen's superficially, but it's about race and gender and health care. it's like the election season. It was actually very interesting watching all these things play out, because it's about a black woman doctor who moves to break apart a white family, and a conservative local talk show host, or a columnist rather, writes a column about this and paints it as a single black mom trying to break apart a happy white family, gets picked up by the wires and becomes a big media firestorm. So it really is an examination of race in America, and they go after the black doctor in this book in similar ways to how they go after they've gone after Barack Obama. They go after her for someone in her family that's not her, kind of like with Barack and Reverend Wright. And then they go after her for having belonged to this African-American group in college, in which one kid wrote a really radical manifesto, but she was just doing it for cheap housing. And they recently went after Michelle Obama for some group she belonged to in college. So it's been very weird. And so an interviewer asked me the other day, did you write this book after Obama's race speech? Because it seems to address a lot of the things. And I said, yeah, I wrote it in 5 days, and, you know. But it is really interesting, and that's why I thought his speech was so great, because made me feel kind of bad, because, you know, it took me 3.5 years and 400 pages to write this book, and he wrote that speech in 2 days, and it was 20 minutes long, and it said all I kind of wanted to say about race. But I thought it was really novelistic in the way he did it, because I thought he tried to explain black anger to the white community in a very sympathetic way, and also white anger to the black community. So he was really, I think, very kind of, like an omniscient narrator. And so that's kind of what I tried to do with this book. And healthcare plays a part in it, too, because it's about the rights of the family and can the government take a child away from a family that's accused without having any concrete proof? And that just happened in Texas with that radical Mormon sect, that with their accusations of child abuse and sexual abuse. So this is a book that's ripped from the headlines, but I wrote it before the headlines, so I didn't mean to be cheesy. It just came out that I was very lucky that all these stories are topical. So actually, I'm writing an op-ed for the Times. I don't know when they're going to run it, about Munchausen, because it's interesting because there's a law in New York State that's being floated now. It says that they're trying to make it harder for the government to take kids away from parents who are accused of Munchausen by proxy. And I think that's a terrible idea, because the reason that it's hard to take kids away already is because, and this is another thing the book is about, the family can go to the press and say whatever they want about a doctor, and the doctor can't comment because of patient-doctor confidentiality laws. So there was a story in Pacific Northwest, actually a doctor who I interviewed for this book. He had evidence that a mother was poisoning the child, and he moved to have the kid taken away, and the family went to the local newspaper, and they did this four-part story about this poor family and this zealous anti-family doctor who loved to take children away from their families. And he's the nation's foremost expert in Munchausen, so he's seen hundreds of cases. And they used that against him. They said he sees Munchausen everywhere, obviously, because he's seen hundreds of cases, but it's really only because he's the expert. So he couldn't comment. And so the case got played out in the press. The family got all this attention, and then they were on TV, and they got all this money, people sending them money for the hospital bills and legal fees. And the case was dropped, and the kid was forced to stay with his family that was poisoning him. So I thought that was really interesting, too. So it's about all these things. But it's also kind of funny, which is kind of hard to believe. But I wanted it to be kind of satirical, too. So I actually wrote it kind of on a dare, because I was with someone who is in the industry and who was saying that the difference between literary fiction and genre fiction is that literary fiction moves really slowly, and you have to read it slowly and kind of savor it, and genre fiction you read really quickly. And I said, well, I don't think that always was the case. You could write a literary page turner, a really well-written page turner, so that's what I tried to do. And then as I was doing that, I read this quote by Updike again, where he was saying that it's a shame that after Melville, that's sort of the way that American fiction went. It went into two camps, the sort of Theodore Dreiser camp, which is really exciting plots, and then there's the Henry James camp, which is very sort of artfully crafted prose and small stories usually. And he said, you know, Melville united those things, and so really, really good books can do both. And that's, you know, what literature used to be, Tolstoy. I mean, if you look at Anna Karenina, it's it's a kind of a soap opera, but it's just the most beautifully told soap opera of all time. But it's very melodramatic in its storytelling and its plot. And Moby Dick, you know, it's just a there's a reason it's been made into 10 movies. It's kind of an adventure story, but it's also a great book. So that's kind of what I wanted to do with this book, to show that you could write a page turner and be literary at the same time. So, well, anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fote, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for David Sirota, David Iglesias, and many more as we podcast Authors on Tour. This podcast was originally recorded on July 2nd, 2008.